Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
To something entirely different now, we're going to talk to Hannah Donlan. She's a writer and an actor, and she's appeared on stage and in TV series including Bridgerton and Gentleman Jack. But she's turned her talents to immersive storytelling now through a podcast series. It's called There's a Lot I Haven't Asked, and it's all about the Irish diaspora in Manchester. Hannah Donlan is on the line. Good morning.
Good morning, Oliver. Thanks for having me on.
And you're from lovely Manchester.
I am indeed, yeah. I am indeed.
Of Irish parents. What's their story and your story?
So my parents emigrated in the 60s, met here in a dance hall, married in the 80s, and then had four children. I was the last one. So I can only describe my upbringing as a very Irish upbringing.
Really?
In an Irish household in the middle of Manchester.
And I gather you were over and back to Ireland, but also when you're in Manchester consuming kind of Irish culture and media and so on.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it was only until I went away to uni that I actually realised just how normal it was to, you know, be learning Irish music, surrounded by Irish accents, listening to RTE Longwave, going to all the Irish events, the flas, the trad sessions, learning how to jive and waltz in the kitchen, you know. It only became clear to me when I went away to London, wow, I've grown up in such an Irish community in the middle of an English city in Manchester, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like lovely, because you would have had the both. You would have had, obviously, Manchester's own way about itself, plus the Irish stuff, I'm sure, from
exactly,
going to school.
Yeah.
When you came up on holidays to your parents' places here in Ireland, where would you have travelled to?
Well, all over, all of us. So, Kerry and Galway. My mum is from Kerry, my dad is from Galway.
Oh, wow.
Longford, Limerick, Dublin as well. So I have family all over. So it's a bit of a road trip. And it's definitely like an annual pilgrimage every year.
You must have had long summer holidays.
Yeah, I mean, not too long, but I think probably for my parents it was quite long, with four kids in the back of the car, elbowing each other and, are we there yet? Are we there yet? But for us, it wasn't long enough, in all honesty. We wanted to stay.
Really? You remember those voyages across on the ferry. And what did your parents do in Manchester?
So my dad works in construction, still working away in construction, and my mum is a receptionist in the NHS. So, yeah.
That you could just almost guess those, couldn't you? The Irish people in the NHS, the Irish builders.
And that's it. And
your dad's still working as a builder?
Yeah, he's still working away. I won't disclose his age, but I will just say he's mid-70s, so a true Irish man, a true hard worker.
And I gather most of his family followed him over as well to England.
Yeah. That's it. Most of the family came over. His two older sisters firstly emigrated to America. So looking at the people, and they then have moved back to Ireland, but looking at the people who emigrated, you know, they had experienced emigration even before they experienced their own. It was very much woven into their lives. And the period we're looking at is from around the mid-40s to the mid-70s, where the figures were incredibly high, you know.
Really?
I quote at the top of episode one, an Irish Times article that estimates half of all Irish people born in the 1930s emigrated, the large majority, to Britain. Mm-hmm. And then in the 1950s, 40,000 people left Ireland every year for Britain. So I really wanted to illuminate, you know, that period. And as you say, I'm coming from an actor-writer background, so I'm not a historian, I'm not an academic. So I wanted to look at those stories and memories, you know, through the power of personal accounts, personal stories. And not to sound too morbid on a Friday morning, but I also sing at a lot of Irish funerals here. And sadly, we're losing a lot of the people who can tell us these stories. And, you know, all the little details, the minutiae, the hilarious moments. So there's a time sensitivity to it as well, of wanting to capture these stories.
Because I gather in your podcast, you get stories from people. Some of them are quite young, who've come across probably in crash times or even later with the housing crisis here. But how old, what ages up to do you record people's stories from?
So we're looking at like first, second and third generation from that period, from between the mid-40s to the mid-70s. Some as young as 25 and then some as young as 105.
Wow.
So we spoke to a woman from Tuam who is 105. So
Amazing.
You know, speaking to her was just, you know, she can remember the dancing, how she was dancing mad. She all her memories of rural Ireland in Galway, so evocative. Like she just brought us back there with such a lucidity. And yeah, and she was hilarious as well, which always makes a story even better. Yeah.
Do you think there is much knowledge or understanding in wider Britain of this, particularly the Irish immigrant experience?
I think they're starting to be, but I think, you know, like the figures even shocked me, and I've grown up in an Irish household. Mm. You know, the Irish were the largest migrant minority in the 1970s here. And so just the rate of how many people came over to, you know, rebuild the post-war Britain and contribute to the motorways that we're driving on today, the hospitals that we, you know, are the National Health Service. So I think they're starting to become, and there's also a brilliant series called Irish Nurses in the UK. So I think there's a real push now to celebrate, you know, that again, yeah. I come back to that term, time sensitivity. There's a real push to celebrate what the Irish have achieved and their resilience. And again, for my generation, just how proud we are of the opportunities that our parents have given to us that they didn't have. Yeah. So I would like to think, yeah, I think there's more awareness now about it, which is great.
You have extraordinary talents. You're a Shando singer. That's why you're called to funerals so often. And
yeah, exactly.
A couple of instruments as well.
Yeah, I mean, I would say maybe confident on the concertina. I would also put mandolin on there, but I think I'm more of a beginner on the mandolin. But that's the thing of growing up in an Irish household, again, of the Irish music here is really, really thriving. Yeah. So, you know, there's sessions every night of the week. So you kind of can't not be playing an instrument. You know, it's kind of in our DNA here in the Manchester Irish community.
What do you sing at
Shano
a funeral?
Singing. Sorry,
what do you sing at a funeral?
Well, Lady of Knock is always a popular song, especially if someone is from Mayo.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would sing maybe Raglan Road as well. But it would be normally hymns, but it's dependent on what the family want.
It has a lovely name, and there's a lot I haven't asked, but now you've asked it basically, and the podcast series are the results.
Yes, but again, I get to the end of the series and kind of my conclusion is there's always going to be a lot I haven't asked. Yeah. I don't know if that's me angling for series number two, it's just that thing of there's always going to be a lot unsaid between generations, but hopefully this series does encourage people to ask more questions and also promote the idea that everyone is a storyteller.
Yeah.
Everyone has, you know, I think the thing that I found, Oliver, talking to a lot of the people is they would say, I don't know if I have anything to say here. And then 2 or 3 hours later, it's like you've contributed so much to this country.
Down. Well, wherever people get their podcasts, look it up. There's a lot I haven't asked. Hannah Donlan, thank you so much and have a lovely weekend.
Thank you so much, Oliver.
Bye-bye, Slán.